Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, they are not even close to being out of the woods with these fires in California. And the next 24 hours is really, really going to be crucial.
A particularly dangerous situation has been issued. Strongest winds from Tuesday morning until Wednesday. We strongly encourage caution and vigilance. This is the weather prediction that the National Weather Service had going into last week's event. So these conditions are significant, they are serious, and we need you to follow all orders.
That is an LA County Supervisor, Lindsay Horvath. We go back out to Los Angeles. Our friend Brian Ping, who's a St. Louis native, has been covering these fires on KNX Radio. I've been listening a lot to KNX and watching Fox 11 out there. Brian, how are you on this Monday?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
Well, trying to see what the hell you guys are in store for here in the next 24 to 48 hours, because it sounds like this could be very problematic going into tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, we're waiting what's going to happen, too, because as you just played the clip there, they are anticipating winds perhaps not as strong and as awful as they were a week ago Tuesday, but definitely in that range, about 60 to 75 mile an hour gust. If I just took a look at the map, we're already in a 30 to 50 mile an hour range, and we're not even in that particularly dangerous situation that they talked about yet.
Can you help us out with when we see these numbers about containment? And I've been watching this coverage, as I indicated, relatively nonstop when I can, when I'm at the house and I'm not watching football. But when we see, for example, the Palisades fires, whatever it would be, 12% contained, it's not like we're looking at a visual on camera from a helicopter or something and we're seeing this massive fire and they're putting some of it out so we know it's a little smaller. It's different because it's kind of hopping around, these areas with all the whether it's, stuff that's all dried up or trees or whatever. So when the containment issue is communicated to you or even on television, what does that mean exactly? Does that make sense, Brian? Because it's a little confusing to us.
It means getting containment lines around the perimeter of the fire to where they're confident that it's not going to jump.
But
if we're dealing with 75 to 80 mile an hour wind gusts, it could very well jump that. I mean, it jumped PCH, which is, I believe, a 6 to 8 lane highway, and torched all of those poor people's homes on the coastal side. There's no brush anywhere around those. So you're confident that it will contain it under normal circumstances. One of the reasons why that containment number is still so low is that that has not been their primary focus over the last couple of days. Their primary focus has been getting some sensitive valleys full of homes and areas that are within that very large perimeter. I believe it's up to around 40 square miles at this point, to prevent against some flare-ups and hotspots. There's a place called Mandeville Canyon. We're talking rugged terrain here. This is like they're folding hills and all sorts of places where if a fire were to get in there, it could be really, really bad with homes in there. So they're focused more on the interior. Thankfully, the wind situation did calm quite a bit over the weekend, to where they're not too much more worried about the fire actually spreading. But there was a point on that note, Mark, when we did have a lull in the winds, it got pretty scary getting close to, you know, places like Brentwood and Encino on the other side of the valley, because this is an area that hasn't burned in some places since the 1940s. So that's a lot of fresh fuel that's ripe to burn if it were to get there.
Yeah, so as I was watching and listening to your coverage into Friday evening, there was a lot of concern. It looked like they might close the 405. So I wake up on Saturday, I'm watching a lot of this. The winds didn't even seem to be problematic. I heard some of the descriptions that were very positive. And then all of a sudden, there was a flare-up. And then all of a sudden, a big house caught on fire. And I watched it for like 2 hours. It burned to the ground. And they were very worried about where the wind might take any debris from that. But here's the other question. You don't even have a handle on how much of this stuff, well, we don't really know where any of this started. Could be fireworks that were left over. But now you have arsons and you have people that are setting these fires, and you can't, you know, I can't help but think that as you go into the overnight tonight and tomorrow, there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to want to do stupid things and try to start fires.
Yeah, sadly, some people see this as an invitation to, if they wanted to destroy something, you know, it's as simple as lighting a match, it would seem, and then the next property, it catches on fire, and you know the rest. But, you know, neighborhood watches are really springing to life. We've been talking with some you know, HOAs about what they're doing and making sure that, you know, they're running patrols and making sure that suspicious-looking people aren't, you know, going around and starting it. But yeah, you're seeing some videos of people that are doing this, and it just adds to the problem. They put a curfew in overnight, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. to stop looters. You know, that's a whole other problem. So it's not just the fire. There's so much, so many more awful things that come out of something like this.
So, you know, I will say this, and I said this at the beginning of the show, Brian, watching a lot of this over the weekend, these firefighters are doing really amazing work, and there's only so much in some cases they can do. But here's the other aspect, and Sue, I don't know if you've seen some of the coverage referring to this. There's a lot of private firefighting crews out there, correct? Explain what that's all about.
Yeah, one news story that came out of that was Rick Caruso, the developer, who had a property in Pacific Palisades, right in the heart of this Palisades fire event, who was able to save his property with a private firefighting source. And I think this is news to a lot of people that these things even exist. It's strange, too, because these are happening in some places where it was alleged that the taps had completely run dry. The hydrants had run out of water. And so you wonder, do these private firefighters have access to their own source, to their own reservoirs? Apparently it was enough for some of them. You know, but you know, especially in Southern California, you can almost look at it like a lot of people have private security, mm-hmm. because they might feel that the public services are inadequate. And so if they've got the means, they're going to employ private firefighters.
So one of the other things, and I heard this on KNX when I was driving in today, there was a guy that waited 11 hours. It was a witness that a friend of hers waited 11 hours to try to see if his property had survived in the Palisades. Finally got in because he was waiting on the cops to give him approval. House was there, but it had been completely looted. So even if your house might still be standing, you might not have your property, right?
Absolutely. Because, and that's a big reason why they instituted the curfew and sent in the state and National Guard to patrol against this kind of thing. But there are anxious enough times for all the people waiting to get in to see if their house is standing that even if it is or was, you know, damaged and can still go on, you're dealing with, you know, these people that are opportunistic getting in there and taking your stuff, and there's nobody there to patrol it. And on top of that, all the people that are still waiting, there was a long line of cars waiting to get into the Palisades yesterday, and all of a sudden they were turned away, and they were told later in the day that they won't get there until Thursday at the earliest when they restart escorts or are able to lift some evacuation zones because of this new wind event that's happening.
Man, I'll say I hope that this goes better than a lot of people think, because there is a lot of risk here in the next couple of days. And I know you know that, and the folks out there. I don't even know how you would, you know, brace for this because of the way that these winds have shifted. And even people who thought maybe that they were in somewhat safe zones have to be on edge, Brian.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At a certain point, you just have to put it in God's hands, because there's only so much preparation you can do as an individual property owner that's going to protect you against 60 to 75. That's hurricane force wind gusts we're talking about. Once it gets up to around, 75 miles an hour, and, you can do all the brush clearance you want, but embers can travel
miles.
About a mile or so at that point. I don't know if you've seen some of the video coming in of how quickly those embers were moving. On Tuesday night, it looked like, the gates of hell. It was just scary. It was really, really something.
So one final topic here before I let you go, because we're following this from afar. I'm guessing in the inner workings of Los Angeles and your coverage, the blame game has been pretty intense. Friday night, it looked like Karen Bass had fired the fire chief. I guess they were in a meeting and that didn't happen. But what would you say about the blame being tossed back and forth right now?
Well, the mayor certainly doesn't look good right now, and it's been talked a lot about her being in Africa when this started, even though there were high wind warnings and conditions were ripe for a fire, and we haven't had any significant rainfall since May. So she's back on her heels to begin with, and then she takes criticism from her own fire chief, which led to that meeting. In the middle of this firefight, she didn't mention Karen Bass by name, the fire chief, but did say, complain about the city shorting her money, about $17 million in the budget, and saying that the city failed her. Just a really bad look all around. And you wonder who's going to survive this professionally. Some people won't. I believe there's a recall petition going around that's gaining steam for Mayor Bass, and we could very well have a recall election coming up.
All right, Brian. Well, good luck with everything in the next 24 hours. I'm really concerned. I know a lot of people out there are, but these winds are so, even now, like you indicated, they don't have to get to 75 miles an hour. They're 40 or 50. That's plenty to really spread some stuff around in these very, very, tinderbox conditions. Thank you, Brian Ping. Good luck tonight.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Take care. That's Brian with KNX in Los Angeles. He's, of course, a St. Louis native. I had never, had you ever heard, maybe I have, because of wildfires, but were you familiar with private
firefighters? No, I did not know that existed.
So he mentioned Caruso, who apparently saved his shopping center with private firefighters. There's not a lot of details known about that, but there was another guy by the name of Ken Wasserman who owns a real estate investment firm, and he goes on X and he goes, does anyone have access to private firefighters to protect our home? Need to act fast here. All neighbors' houses burning. We'll pay any amount. And in the New York Times, they did a story about this, and they say that a two-person private firefighting crew with a small vehicle can cost $3,000 a day. A larger crew of 20 firefighters in four fire trucks can run $10,000 a day. But they put the number of firefighters in this country that are privately employed at 45% of all firefighters.
What?
I had no idea. I mean, it makes sense with police and security, but that's interesting, isn't it?
Where do they get the water out there?
That's a very good question. But they have something called the National Wildfire Suppression Association, and that represents 300 private firefighting groups. So I think the majority of the 45%, they're not doing it in Missouri or New York or, Arkansas. They're in Colorado. They're in Washington State and some of these other areas like California, which is kind of interesting.
If you have that much money out there, 10 grand is not that big a deal compared to losing your $25,000 or million-dollar house.
Exactly. We'll keep tracking those fires. We got Cusimano coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.